the Lord in His mercy would call one or some back to Himself. We all stray, but need to be all the time returning. If you'll turn with me to Genesis 35 this morning, while I was walking down here this morning, to mind was brought what Paul said to the church at Ephesus, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth. Seemed like the only thing folks are concerned with, excluding present company, I trust. The only thing folks are concerned with growing is number. And if you've got a large number, then you've got the Lord's blessings. In whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. In whom ye also are builded together for an holy habitation . We have no right to call ourselves a church except this is a place of God's holy habitation. And the one thing that's going to aid and bring the church to where she needs to be, the one thing that has been lost is a high concept of God. And if God is not held highly in your own heart and in your own mind, then frivolous are our gatherings and religious things. But if there is being formed in you a right concept of the dignity of the person of God as revealed in Christ Jesus, then you're becoming concerned about how am I before Him this day? And there's something of a holy awareness creeping in over our souls. If we are becoming a holy habitation of God through the Spirit, God must again create within the church those high, those holy, those reverent thoughts of His person. Then we'll be getting close to what we ought to be as that habitation of God. Well, Genesis 35. I did mention to you last week that it was in chapter 35 that the Lord appeared unto Jacob a second time and reminded him, I called you Israel before, But it's time for you to rethink that I called you, because your conduct has not lived up to that of a prince with God. That is in 35:10. But that's not the text for this morning. Lord willing, we'll begin reading in a moment in verse number 7. But would you pray with me before we do? Gracious, merciful God, that I trust through Christ Jesus and His finished work and the revelation of that in the souls of these that have gathered this morning, that we can rightly call you Father. And if there is any doubt as to where our minds ought to be when speaking to Thee, Your Son said that we are to begin our praying with a consideration of our Father who is in heaven. Far, far above. And yet, within near distance to every child. Hallowed be Thy name here this morning, in our hearts, in this place. Be merciful unto all of us, O God, by some way clearing our minds of life's responsibilities, life's duties, and its demands. And for just a little, grant us to begin to know something of God's house as a holy habitation of God. Give us Thy Spirit. Lay open hearts. Would Ye, Holy Father, be merciful and grant new and fresh dealings between the children and Thee, and a right view of Christ, who alone is our hope, our righteousness, our eternal life. Father, as we come to this portion, would You give us help in expounding rightly, truthfully, sincerely, with a needed unction, and would You, Father, fix each heart. Not to rebel, but submit. And grant us all that we need this day as Thy children, as Thy servants, and as a people being sought to be worshipers. We ask these things in Christ's name, for His honor and glory. Amen. Genesis 35, verse number 7. This is speaking about Jacob. He built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, that is the God of Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. Now he's returning home. And verse number 8 is the text for this morning. And I would like to speak to you, if the Lord will help much. I would like to speak with you on Deborah, Rebecca's nurse. But Deborah, Rebecca's nurse, died. And she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak. And the name of it was called Allen Bacuth, the oak of weeping. This is the only place in all of Scripture that Deborah is mentioned by name. I think it is Judges 4 and 5. If it's not, it's somewhere near. There is another Deborah that is mentioned several times. It's a different one. Deborah in Judges is a prophetess. All we know about Deborah is she's Rebecca's nurse. She is mentioned in Genesis 24 and 59. When Rebecca's brother, mother, called her and asked her, would she go with this man? She said, I will go. And they sent away Rebecca, their sister, and her nurse. We kind of wonder what she's doing here. Back with Jacob. For some reason, she's not with Rebecca anymore. I think Rebecca's dead. But before we get into that, would you look with me to Genesis 27 and 45. How'd Rebecca get back here with Jacob? I think Jacob has gone home. He came back into the land of Canaan, and he stopped short, but I think he himself journeyed over. Can't prove this, but I think Rebecca sent for him. Genesis 27. 45. This is she that is speaking. Until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him, then I will send and fetch thee from thence. So Esau has met Jacob, his anger has been turned away. And Esau has has returned home, and Rebecca sees that his heart is not as it was. There is not that anger, intent on murder, and it's different towards Jacob. And I believe when she heard that, and Esau telling her, we got back this far, and he's journeying slowly because of the children and the cattle with young. I believe Rebecca sent for him. And he went over to see her. Might have been in her passing, her realizing she was near unto entering into the eternal world. She wanted to see her son again. May have been she died while he was there, shortly thereafter. And the one that had been with Rebecca all her life, Deborah, ends up going back with Jacob. When the apostle, if you want to turn to Hebrews chapter 11, is writing the chapter on faith, he mentions, beginning with verse 31, I think there are 15 or 16 people mentioned in Hebrews 11. Verse number 31, by faith the harlot. And yet he's going to write in verse number 33 about Daniel being in the den of lions, and by faith their mouths were stopped. In verse number 34, he's going to write about the three Hebrew children, but he will not mention them by name. But he mentions Rahab, all alone, in a heathen world, and yet somehow had got news of the eternal God and helped the spies when they got there. And the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe, but God will take that woman and bring from her the king of Israel, David, and later David's son. The three Hebrew children are not mentioned. There was companionship, and you can always handle afflictions better if you have those in like circumstances. Was her faith greater than the Hebrew children? Was her faith greater than that of Daniel that stopped the lion's mouth? I don't know. It's not important. But I do know that God mentioned her in this great chapter. Verse number 32, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell you of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. And verse number 35, women, but they're not mentioned, receive their dead, raised life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, and yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sown asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. That's a different picture than the health, wealth gospel paints today. If you have sufficient faith, you will have much. God said they were destitute. They wandered about, their only clothing was that from sheep or goats. But God said of them that the world was not worthy of them. And all the names that God has mentioned and recorded throughout the Scripture, He saw fit to mention Deborah. As to her deeds, we do not know. Nobody knows, nobody knew, except Rebekah, Isaac, Jacob, Esau. She's Rebekah's nursemaid. She's going to help with the children. Jacob's children, and now Jacob's wives. Her name means bee. One of the most industrious of all little creatures God has made, along with the little ants. They labor, but they labor for the benefit of the hive. It's not a selfish labor. They go into the hive by themselves with their pollen that they have collected. They leave the hive. They go out by themselves all alone. And they do that that God has created them to do. And they do it quite well. For they store up in the summer months, spring, summer months, that which will be their food when there is none to be gathered. So I don't know any great acts that Deborah performed, but it doesn't matter. God does. She may have done no more than helping in the kitchen, raising the children, but God thought enough of what she was doing and her faithfulness in doing it to mention her name. And He didn't mention a lot of the great names that we have read or heard about. She was simply fulfilling her role in life and the purpose for which God had created her. Now the wise writer said, whatsoever your hands find to do, if in life there is this duty laid upon you by relationships, by roles, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, your strength, your ability, and your power. And Paul, writing to the Colossians, said, whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Get your heart involved in it, or God will not receive it. Do it heartily as unto the Lord. So if you wash the dishes, do it unto the Lord. If you cook the meal, do it if you labor to get the meal, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Though the children and the spouse will benefit, the foremost motive in your heart was doing it to the Lord. For of the Lord you shall receive the reward of inheritance. To Ephesians, Paul said to the Ephesians, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. You want to hear, well done? Not pleasing men. Not seeing who's looking at you performing it. But as the servants of God doing it from the heart. Is your name recorded there? Now, folk, most of us will never look at present circumstances and find in that an opportunity for service. There's just something inbred in every last one of us called selfishness. I do hope God is getting that out of us. And you do the things you do heartily as to the Lord. In present circumstances, God's arranged it. God will give you opportunity to serve Him. And yet we excuse ourselves upon the grounds that if we had a more favorable environment, a more favorable circumstance, that we could serve the Lord better. If I had a more meaningful task, I'd be glad to serve the Lord with all my heart. If I had a greater responsibility, I'd be glad to serve the Lord with all my heart. If I was appreciated more, if I had 1,000 to preach to and not 12, I'd serve the Lord more faithfully. If folks only would recognize that I did, I'd serve the Lord more faithfully. No, dear ones, we never do it for anybody to recognize. We do it as unto the Lord. If others benefit, then that is good. But we did it first and foremost for the Lord. Now this might get just a little sticky for a moment. Many have abandoned their rightful place in society as a father, as a husband, as a wife, and as a mother for the advancement of self. Our society has placed such accolades upon personal attainment and achievement that the role in the family has lost its significance. It shouldn't matter what anybody thinks about you. Jesus, be it Deborah, would never have known her name if in her service to Rebecca, Rebecca's family, Jacob and Jacob's family, she had not served faithfully to the Lord. And it is said of her when they buried her that there was a great weeping. They weren't shedding crocodile tears. Her labor unto the Lord had so affected the children's heart that when she died, they mourned for her. She may never have done anything more than cook the meals, wash their clothes, or sit down and teach them. Surely she's found out about God by providence bringing Rebecca into the family, and from her, the family of God. It's not enough anymore to be a mother, to be a housekeeper, to be a wife. It's not enough anymore to be a father and be a husband. We want more in life. I know life, partly our own fault, has us in such a condition that it is almost imperative that both work. But even so, your primary role ought to be the one God has designed for you. You may have to work. I'm not telling you to quit, but I'm telling you this. Even if you have to work to keep the household going, your primary role ought to be that God has placed upon you. If you are a mother, then be a mother. If you are a father, be a father. That's first. But these things are gone. And the pride of life is what's placed most in the condition that they're in. And now you've got to work to keep up with. Listen to David. Psalm 37 somewhere. A little that a righteous man has, is better than the riches of the wicked. Now listen, for in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. Famine, those days, yes, we're there. I have been young, now I am old, but I have never seen the righteous or his seed begging bread. God will always have a morsel for you. Well, what about the beggar in life? Well, we're talking right now about a spiritual famine of hearing the word of God. God will always feed the children. Your children will never be out begging bread. And woe, what an inheritance is laid up for the righteous man, for the righteous woman, just stepping inside the portals of glory. My soul. That sure makes things of this world not too important. I do not need to to obtain a certain status in life so that others might know my name. I do not need a monument erected declaring my fame and my fortune so that others will know that I was here. I do not need a marker at my grave declaring he did these great works. A marker identifying the place of my burial. I don't need it. You don't need it. I don't need a great name. I don't need fortune. I don't need anything but what God is pleased to give and just be satisfied. Got nothing to do, Jacob. Your mother's dead. Can I go back with you? Worked all my life for your family. Can I serve in your family till death? She is one of those servants that when time came for her to be free, she said, no, I love my master. I love my wife. I love my children. I think I just stay here as a bond servant to my Lord. Just bore my ear to mark me as a loving bondservant. All I need is just a heart to serve God faithfully in whatever role and responsibility He places upon me. I think I could be quite satisfied without having to preach. I think I could be satisfied without having to do anything that brought any recognition to me. I think you should be. And I think you should feel your role in society with an eye to God. With an eye to God and walk away from work and walk away from the table prepared or having earned to fix the meal and looking up to God and saying, Lord, I did it unto you. The children grumble, but I don't fix to suit their taste buds. I fix because of what they need. Isn't that all you need? There's none of us, Peter, Paul, David, Spurgeon, Whitfield, the Wesleys, none of us. But God didn't ask me to be any of them. All He's asking you to be who you are. And fulfill the purpose for which God created and is recreating. We don't need society to know our names. If God knows, that's enough. I don't need to try to list out any accomplishments or great work. If God knows, that's enough. Now, who's to say that Peter's reward in glory was greater than Deborah? You can't say that. She served God. And we never would have known about her if God hadn't been pleased to tell you. I got one down there that has served me by fixing the meals, washing the dishes, changing the diapers. And what she did it to me. And Joseph was sold, and Potiphar bought him, and he served Potiphar. And his Potiphar's wife lied, and he was placed in prison. But he served the one that kept the prison. And then he was promoted to be over all the prisoners, but he never used his role to become a tyrant and demanding, but I find that he served all the prisoners. And two came up one morning and said their countenance was sad. And here's a man that had been betrayed by his brothers, lied on by his master's wife, placed in prison, feet locked in chains. Psalm 105, iron piercing into his soul. And he looks at other people and says, why you say it? He is just serving God where God had put him. Now our service to God will be evidenced by our service to man in the role and in the capacity to which your heart is involved in what you do. We have divided Christianity and our lives into two separate entities. What I do for me and the family, and what I do for the Lord. No, you can't do that. If you pick up a glass of water because you're thirsty, you ought to drink it to God's glory. If you sit down at a table and you're starving to death, you ought to eat for God's glory. Paul said, when you're doing the most beast-like necessities to keep life maintained, you ought to do it to the glory of God. David, Acts 13, after he had served his generation by the will of God. David been promoted, put his foot on the enemy's neck. God had turned the hearts of all Israel toward him. David was king over this giant empire, in this giant nation, but he served his generation. He wasn't looking to be great. He wasn't looking to do mighty acts. He said, that I could be like one fleeing in the wilderness. Being king didn't bring satisfaction to my heart. Being promoted, being loved, and being obeyed didn't bring satisfaction to my heart. I just had some place to get away from society. Because God is the only one that can bring satisfaction and fulfillment to life. And all of you are looking. Tomorrow's going to be better. I'm going to have more. Have less to do. And you just keep grabbing out your life. wanting to become that that you're not. They got it. I want it. Brethren, you have been called into liberty. Only use not your liberty as an occasion to serve the flesh, but by love serve God. Galatians 5:13. Can I give you two passages in John? John 5. I am come in my Father's name. I am come as God would have me, humble, meek, looking for the good of other people and not me. I am come in my Father's name. You didn't like my appearance. You didn't like my status in life, born in a stable, born from a poor carpenter's family. And you didn't receive me. If another shall come in his own name. You remember Absalom rebelling against his father, and you remember how he made his approach with men running before him with chariots and with horses, and that's the Antichrist, not a person. If another shall come in his own name with pomp, with glory, with worldly ambition, with great promises, and it has been the professing church which has fixed the ground for the maturing and development of the system of Antichrist. And we've received him. Because we weren't satisfied with being a Deborah. Now Jesus asked these, and he is asking us in the same breath, how can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not that honor that cometh from God? If man will pat me on the back, and man will give me the right praise and thanks, then I'll labor diligently to fill my role and responsibility. But if I am not honored among men, then I am not going to serve man. That's the system of Antichrist. If you're looking for honor among men, just quit your service to God right now and don't bring dishonor to Him by trying to please man and please God at the same time. How can you receive honor that cometh from God only if you're concerned about honor from mankind? John 12. John 12:42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. Now that's not savingly. They just believed he was who he said he was. But they didn't savingly believe on him because of the Pharisees. They would not confess him lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men. I'd go down there. I believe what you all believe. But there is this stigma attached to you as rebellious or as out of the way, as heretic. I would go, I believe what you do, but folk would think this about me. Therefore, I'll just keep going where I'm going. Though I don't get anything, though it's a social club, I don't want folk thinking badly about it. If you don't get over what folk think about you, you'll never serve God. It doesn't matter what folks think. It matters what God knows. It doesn't matter if folks aren't recording great. It only matters if God is. They would not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Now, a lot of folk become religious and pious for an hour or two on Sunday. And I guess for a while they think outside themselves long enough to trouble themselves to get ready. And they push aside the things of the world. But shortly thereafter, they're back in that same ungodly mode, mean, quotation marks. And all relationships exist for me. No, you exist for somebody else. What about living for the good of others? Now, folk, I know there's still a lot of selfishness in you. I know that. I don't like it. I don't want it there. I want it gone. But what about living for the good of others? And as the old writer, Fox's Book of Martyrs, I think, Henry Martin said, the pleasures of doing good. And please do not think that your role and lot in life will be that in eternity. Deborah, you come on up here. She may have done more for the glory of God than Jacob, though several chapters are given to Jacob. I don't know, but I do know this, that the last shall be first. And I know this, that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. That which men esteem, God doesn't look at it like that. And the great and the honorable and notable men and women of the world are not looked upon by God as the great, notable women and men. The rich man fared sumptuously, but the rich man went to hell. God's child begged for a crumb. God's child went to paradise. You may never attain to a high position or status in life, but if you are a child of God, now listen to what God said about you. Precious in the sight of the Lord. Hadn't you rather God have a high opinion of you than man? Since thou wast precious in my sight, Thou hast been honorable. Wouldn't you rather God honor you than man? And folk, it's a sad day for many of the Lord's children have not reached a place where they're more satisfied with communion with the Lord than they are with communion with creatures. Well, might as well just go on. You're already thinking poorly of me, some of these things. I don't know all these social networks, but I bet you a dollar that they may have more of your attention than God. You may commune more with friends than you do God. Shall I seek great things for myself when Christ humbled himself, made himself of no reputation? Shall I be more pleased with the smiles of men, unconcerned about the frown of God? You may one day find all your friends as Job found his. My brethren have dealt deceitfully as a brook and as the streams of brooks. A brook is dried up. It's good to have friends, but you better have the friend of friends, because nobody's going to go with you through the shadow of death. Paul said, at my first answer, no man stood with me. All men have forsaken me. But God did. And I close. Do not think that filling your role as a mother, a wife, a husband, a father, a job. Do not think that you're taking care of the duties of life, that your responsibilities to the Lord are negated. She was Rebecca's nursemaid, but she better have been looking at her soul too, and washing the dishes and changing the diapers. She was a good maid. She was a good nurse. But surely in all that, she was making sure that her soul was right in fellowship with God. And one other last. Some people do much for others by way of serving them. They're good, kind, many deeds and acts of mercy. I don't know if she's in heaven, Sister Teresa. I don't know, but she was noted for doing a lot of good for a lot of people. Folk, there's a ditch on both sides of the narrow way in which you walk. And a lot of people do good as a backup plan, just in case, so God will let them in. No, you don't do good as a backup plan. You do good because of what God has made Christ to your soul. And Deborah, Rebecca's nurse, died. But oh, the keeper of all records inspired the historian to tell the world about Rebecca's nurse. Try to find service to God in the role and responsibilities that God has put you in life.